नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
टेक्स्ट 19। अहम्
च योगेश्वरमात्मतत्त्व वेदां मुनीनां परमं गुरुं वै प्रष्टुं प्रवृत्तः किमिहारणं तत् साक्षाद्धरिं ज्ञानकलावतीर्णम्।
Translation: I consider your good self the most exalted master of mystic power. You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You have come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapila Dev, the incarnation of God and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, योगिनाम अपि सर्वेषां मद्गते नान्तरात्मना श्रद्धावान भजते यो माम समय युक्ततमो मतः। ऑफ ऑल योगीज ही हु अबाइड्स इन मी विद ग्रेट फेथ वर्शिपिंग मी इन ट्रांसेंडेंटल लविंग सर्विस इज मोस्ट इंटीमेटली यूनाइटेड विथ मी इन योगा एंड इज द हाईएस्ट ऑफ ऑल। Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Jad Bharat was a perfect yogi. He was formerly the Emperor Bharat Maharaj, and he was now the most exalted personality among learned sages and the master of all mystic powers. Although Jad Bharat was an ordinary living entity, he had inherited all the knowledge given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev. He could therefore be taken directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his stanzas to the spiritual master, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastraihi. An exalted personality like Jad Bharat is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he fully represents the Lord by giving knowledge to others. Jad Bharat is herein accepted as the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was imparting knowledge on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Maharaj Rahuguna concluded that it was appropriate to ask him about Atma Tattva, the spiritual science. Tad Vijnanartham Sagurum Evabhigachet. This Vedic injunction is also confirmed herein. If anyone is at all interested in knowing the spiritual science, Brahma Jigyasa, he must approach a guru like Jad Bharat.
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सहोदितो गौरोदय पुष्पवंतो चित्रो षंदो तमोनुदो उग्रोपि अनुग्रो एवायं सुभक्तानां ऋकेश्री केश्री वसुपोतानां अन्येषां उग्र विक्रमः। सो द एपिसोड दैट इज गोइंग ऑन इज ऑफ महाराज रहुगुण अंडरस्टैंडिंग द or beginning to understand the exalted nature of Jad Bharat and seeking his shelter. The translation and the purport herein is explaining how a spiritual master is a perfect yogi. He has access to all mystic powers. And one of his mystic potencies is that he is able to give transcendental knowledge. Knowledge is actually a function of the chit potency of the Lord, specifically in terms of transcendental knowledge. It is explained by the Acharyas that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his spiritual potency. And this potency, in one of her expansions, is known as Saraswati. This goddess Saraswati expands in two ways. One expansion stays as the consort of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, as a spiritual Saraswati. And the other expansion is also known as Brahmi, who is the consort of Lord Brahma in this material world. So, transcendental knowledge is a function of the spiritual potency, the spiritual Saraswati. And hence, transcendental knowledge requires the mercy of the Supreme Lord and her consort. That is the only way to access transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the spiritual master is revered as the direct representative of the Supreme Lord, the one who carries the mercy of the spiritual Saraswati Devi. And hence, he is to be worshipped as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual Saraswati, just as spiritual Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi also has her counterpart in the form of the Chala Lakshmi, or the Lakshmi that does not stay in one place, Chanchala. That is the expansion, that is the consort of Indra as Shachi Devi. So these spiritual potencies, they have their counterparts in this material world. So if, as Prabhupada says, people want to have Lakshmi but they do not know how to have Lakshmi, it is by worshipping Lord Narayan, because Lakshmi is always with Lord Narayan. Similarly, people in this world want to have knowledge but they do not know how to have knowledge. Knowledge is always available with Saraswati Devi, who is always the consort of Lord Narayan. So transcendental knowledge can only be accessed by pleasing the spiritual master, who is a representative of Saraswati Devi, who herself is the expansion of Srimati Radharani, the spiritual potency of the Lord, the Ladini potency of the Lord. In this way, everything is directly under the shelter of Sri Radhika and her supreme master, Sri Krishna. So here, Maharaj Rahuguna is understanding that Jad Bharat is a special personality, and thus he is seeking shelter and is asking him the question, please tell me what is the most secure shelter. Shelter is sought by someone who is in danger, and we know in this material world there is danger at every step. It depends where we seek shelter, whether we seek shelter of our own ahankar, our own potencies. Ultimately, these potencies are also the expansion of the spiritual potency. Nothing belongs to us. But because we are covered over, there is an avrita, avaran of again. Hence, we cannot see that relationship and we misuse the potency. Ultimately, all the potency is coming from the Supreme Lord. And hence, it is but natural that we use it in the service of the Lord. Therefore, the adage that Prabhupada would say, don't try to leave anything, just connected with Krishna. All the potencies can be connected with Krishna. Everything that we have has to be connected with Krishna. It is meant to be connected with Krishna. It is naturally connected to Krishna. Just an artificial imposition of the mind, the ahankar. So security is sought out by the living entity who seeks shelter or who thinks there is something separate from Krishna. Dvitiya, that dvandva, the dualities, there is something separate from Krishna. Hence,
to show the limitations of the security in this world, Krishna manifests through his devotees the dangers of this material world. These pastimes of Maharaj Bharat are not ordinary pastimes. They are the pastimes which are being enacted by the Lord through his devotees to set certain examples. There are so many examples through scriptures. We never find in the scriptures the mention of, you know, Rohini Priya Das or somebody else. We find mention of Maharaj Indra. We find mention of Jad Bharat, Vritrasur, or even for that sake, Ravan and others. These are devotees of the Lord, or they have special personalities whom the Lord has chosen to enact certain pastimes by which the living entities can come to their senses. Therefore, they are respectable. Whenever we use the episode of Jad Bharat and refer to him as how Maharaj Bharat also fell down from the platform of Bhava, it has to be understood that it has been enacted for us. This is a very special personality who finds his mention in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and hence he has to be always respected. That respect aspect has always to be there. Although we refer that, yeah, Maharaj Bharat fell down, but we have to understand that how these personalities, they take up such issues, such happenings. The Supreme Lord chooses these personalities to enact these very delicate activities because they don't complain. They never ask the question why this is being done to us. And that is why it is easy for the Lord to enact these pastimes to them. If there was anybody else, they always complain. It is natural. Living entity always complains. Why so much on us? Why so much is expected of me? Why not somebody else? So then it becomes very difficult. The resistance is there, and hence certain messages cannot be sent through. That nimitta is not being, we do not act as a nimitta or the instrument. Therefore the Lord chooses these personalities. And through these personalities, the Lord always raises many issues which are controversial. Issues of fall down even from the platform of Bhava. Issues of Jad Bharat. Like one question always came to my mind is, and which could always, the devotees could also maybe meditate on that, is one of the reasons that Maharaj Bharat fell down was that he did not have association in the forest. But we see that as Jad Bharat, he's completely dumb, he's acting dumb, does not seek much association anywhere, but still he survives. So at one place, one message is being given, at another place, another message is being given. If you analyze the situation of Jad Bharat, where is the situation where he seeks any association? Where is the association that he gets other than his own internal meditation? But yeah, in between, as a deer, he sought all the association from the rishis. That was missed off. So here the point is being stressed is how Maharaj Jad Bharat is so much internally absorbed that he is capable of giving instructions to Rahuguna, who is also an exalted personality as a king, who knows that here is a spiritual personality and should take shelter of him. Today is also the appearance day of Srila Shyamanand Pandit, and we find that in the lifetime of Srila Shyamanand Pandit also, the Supreme Lord used him to bring out a very controversial issue and to address that. Shyamanand Pandit Prabhu was born as one of the later siblings of a couple by the name of Krishna Mandal and Durika Dasi in Orissa, bordering Orissa and Bengal in the district of Midnapur. This couple was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. They were in fact contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya. They lived around the same time as Lord Chaitanya. The historians say that Srila Shyamanand Pandit was born, they placed his date of birth around the time just after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, within a year of the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya from this world. So we can understand that these devotees were there when Lord Chaitanya was performing his pastimes. But they were staying in this Midnapur district,
And as at that point of time, because the mode of transport was not so developed, it was very difficult to go between places. So although they were very close to where Lord Chaitanya was staying, they did not have direct association with him much of the times, as many devotees did not have at that time. But they were always hearing about him, they were always worshipping him. And it was a great desire that they could have some children who they could train up in Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, they did have many children, but all of them died in their infancy. And finally, this one boy was born and he survived. So his father gave him the name Dukhi, thinking that Lord Yamaraj would think, would remember that what dukkha or what sadness they had, this couple had gone through, seeing so many of their infants dying, and maybe thus take mercy on them and allow this child to survive. Miraculously, this child survived. But he was a very special child, a prodigy. Although Krishna Mandal belonged to the Shadagopa caste, which is a very low caste, the boy did not show any of the symptoms of the other people of those castes. Very intelligent, not interested in ordinary activities, always seeking association of spiritual personalities, very much interested in spiritual studies. Seeing his inclination, his father became very happy and understood that his child is meant to achieve something great. So he offered his son that, "My dear son, although within our caste it is not very natural that one seeks a spiritual master, but if you so desire, you can have a spiritual master of your choice." And the child immediately replied, "I already have chosen my spiritual master. He stays in Ambika Kalna. And he goes by the name of Hriday Chaitanya." Now, Midnapur and the district where they stayed, Dhaneshwar, was very far from Ambika Kalna. Not many people had heard of it. So it was amazing that this boy should speak like that. But his father understood this is a special sign. So he gave him permission. "May you go to your spiritual master." Amazing. After so long, they have a child, a son, who is such a, who attracts them so much. But because they were devotees of the Lord, they understood their son's desire is to be seeking a spiritual master and advance in Krishna consciousness. So although it was difficult for them, although it was very difficult for them, Prabhupada explains this quality amongst devotees. He says that for devotees, it is not that they don't have emotions. When Arjuna, his only dearmost son, Abhimanyu, died on the battlefield, he was feeling a lot of emotions. He had intense attachment for his son. But that did not stop him from rendering his service to Lord Krishna. So herein, Krishna Mandal also understood that his service to his to the Supreme Lord and to his son was that he allowed his son, he gave him the independence to advance in Krishna consciousness. And he sent his only son, the only surviving child. After that, they never had any more children, to go to Ambika Kalna. And he knew, because of the factors involved, the son is going to his guru, he may never come back. He's going so far away, it is very difficult. We can go to him or he can come on a regular basis. Right? Today, if somebody goes even right across India, they know something can be arranged. At least once a month, that boy can come back or the girl can come back. Even if they go abroad, they know that maybe once a year they can come back. That was not the case 500 years back. It was not just the lack of transport, it was the very geographical nature of the situation and political situation. There are small kingdoms all over India. There are dacoits all over the place. There are tax collectors, toll collectors. You have to go through all of that. So considering the situation, if they allow their son to go through, it was a very big decision. A very big decision. So Shyamanand Dukhi, he went to Ambika Kalna. On the way, first he stopped at Kankul Krishnanagar and stayed for some time with Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And then he went on to Ambika Kalna. And there he asked, "Where is the temple of Gauridas Pandit?" Everyone said, "Yes, yes, we know." And they were. And they sent him. Gauridas Pandit Prabhu is one of the 12 cowherd boys, a very dear associate of Lord Nityananda. And we know that he has these deities of Gaur Nittai which are non-different than the original Gaur Nittai. He had his very great disciple, a very dear disciple by the name of Hriday Chaitanya. Previously he was known as Hridayananda. But by in a pastime where Lord Chaitanya jumped into his heart, Gaur Nittai, they entered his heart, he came to be known as Hriday Chaitanya. Actually, historians, they have two versions for this. There's some say that since only Lord Chaitanya jumped in, therefore is Hriday Chaitanya. But others say that both Gaur Nittai jumped into his heart. And since then on, Hridayananda came to be known as Hriday Chaitanya. So there he sought out Hriday Chaitanya and took shelter of Srila Hriday Chaitanya. Hriday Chaitanya was very happy to have such a wonderful disciple. And soon, seeing his wonderful qualities and seeing his dedication, very soon he learned all the Vedas, all the Shastras, everything. He learned all the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that the disciples and Lord Nityananda, that the direct associates, had come to know of. And then finally, Hriday Chaitanya decided to accept him and gave him the name Krishnadas. Since Dukhi was the name given by his parents, and many people knew him as Dukhi, and Krishnadas was his initiated name, he came to be known as Dukhi Krishnadas. After some time, Hriday Chaitanya knew that Jiva Goswami has opened a very wonderful theological school in Vrindavan. Since it was a desire of Lord Chaitanya that he had told Sanatan Goswami to establish, one of the purposes he gave to Sanatan Goswami and thus to all the Goswamis and their followers, to systematically give the knowledge of devotional service, establish centers, temples for deity worship and for systematic propagation of devotional knowledge. So Jiva Goswami established an institute, a proper institute for cultivation of knowledge. Sometimes devotees wonder whether we should have such institutes or not. You know, the concept of base, Bhakti Shastri, it is all in parampara. Jiva Goswami established an institute for higher studies. And therein, all the books of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, in fact, what he was himself writing, like Gopal Champu and others, they were there. So when Dukhi Krishnadas came, because his guru had sent him, he came by Mathura and to Govardhan. And at Govardhan, one Vaishnav devotee by the name of Sridas, he said, since you are here and you are a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, please come and meet Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here. They are residing here. So Dukhi Krishnadas became very happy and he went and took shelter of both these devotees. And they became very pleased. Oh, you are a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya and you are the grand disciple of Gauridas Pandit. We are so happy. Actually, it is the mercy of Krishna that Gauridas Pandit and Hriday Chaitanya have come in your form to give us association. And they served him. Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took all measures to see that our Dukhi Krishnadas was properly given facilities. He had come all the way from Bengal. And as I said, considering the situation at that time, it is very difficult somebody like that to do. In fact, before that, actually, the itihas mentions, or the history mentions, that Dukhi Krishnadas Prabhu went on a tour of all of India. And this is why, for me personally, it was very nice to hear that he also went to Badrinath. He went to many of the places of North India, and so there is a legacy even within the sampradaya of the Chaitanya followers, Lord Chaitanya's followers, that such places have been visited. So it is mentioned that he did go there. He went to many other places. He went to Dwarka. He went to South India. He toured for a couple of years and then came back and spent a lot of time in Jagannath Puri and Navadvip, in the places where Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda performed their pastimes along with the associates. And then he came to Vrindavan. So, here they made all these facilities. And then they arranged for someone to take him to Vrindavan. You see, today for us to go from Govardhan to Vrindavan is a matter of 1 hour by that, you know, 6-seater or 10-seater Dugdugi, or a couple of, you know, maybe half an hour by our regular bus travel. But in those days to travel to Vrindavan, it is said that every day Sanatan Goswami would go for Madhukari to Nandagram, then go to Braja, and then come for his parikrama around Govardhan. And in that time also offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas at least 1,000 times or maybe 2,000 times. No. Yeah, 2,000 times and chant a lakh of names. It's amazing how they would do it. Today to walk around Govardhan sometimes require 2 days. So these devotees, and at that time Braj was simply a jungle, including Govardhan. There were wild animals roaming. When Raghunath Das Goswami is performing his bhajan on the banks of Radhakund, a lion was drinking water on the banks of Radhakund. Today we hardly find enough birds there. But the situation is, from the material point of view, it's quite dangerous. So here these senior devotees are making arrangements to see that someone can properly reach Vrindavan. We speak of all this love, concern. So here we find that how devotees express that by making these facilities, these arrangements. They had the facilities, they had the ability to make those arrangements, and therefore they did it. It is not that if we don't have the facilities, what do we do when we don't have the facilities? Shastras explain, if one cannot properly welcome a guest by giving him, offering so many things, just welcome him with nice words. So since Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami had so many followers, they made an arrangement. Please go. We'll arrange for you an escort. And very nicely he was escorted to Jiva Goswami's temple at Radha Damodar. Jiva Goswami is very ecstatic, very happy. Because he knew there was a plan of Lord Chaitanya and something was not fitting. Many years back, Srinivas Acharya had come. Then Narottam Das Thakur had come. But still something was missing and he was waiting for that. And when Shamanand Pandit Dukhi Krishna Das arrived, everything fit. Jiva Goswami was really very happy. He knew now the whole plan has been set by Lord Chaitanya. So he took special interest in Dukhi Krishna Das. And he trained him very nicely. And very soon these three personalities became great friends. Very great friends. So the issue that we were saying. So Dukhi Krishna Das Prabhu would regularly, under the tutelage of Jiva Goswami, learn scriptures from him and also do some menial service. He would clean the area of Seva Kunj, a particular kunj, by the name of Kanaka something Kunj. He would clean that particular area every day. And also, under the instructions of Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, Jiva Goswami was training him in the mode of Raganuga meditation. Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu had told him that please train him in this spontaneous devotional service or this attraction for Shri Radha and Krishna spontaneously. So Jiva Goswami was specifically training him. So when Dukhi Krishna Das Prabhu would be performing his menial service in the kunjas, he would be meditating on the service to Shri Radha and Krishna. And very soon he started developing intense attraction for the service, and he started realizing that this service was under the guidance of Rupa Goswami as Rupa Manjari. In the area of Seva Kunj, it is explained that eternally Shri Radha and Krishna perform their Rasa Leela. It is Rasa Sthali. And this rasthali is very special because here sometimes things become very wild. They become very intense. Very intense interaction takes place between all the devotees in their eternal pastime. So in one of those intense moments, and by the desire of Srimati Radharani, she lost her ankle bell. A very intense dance was going on, and Hari Bol and Hare Krishna was going on among all the people there, Radha Krishna, and she lost her Nupur, her ankle bell. Some of the historians say that it was her special, she wanted to give special mercy to Shyamananda Pandit for his service. Dukhi Krishna Das, sorry. Till now he is known as Dukhi Krishna Das. So she lost it. And because sometimes it happens that recently also there was a very intense festival and something happened. It only came to be known afterwards when somebody had to be taken to the doctor. So it was such an intense moment. Something got lost. Nobody came to know. But then later on, Radharani, she called Lalita Sakhi and told her that, my dear Sakhi, I've lost my ankle bell. You know what will happen if I go back to Javat like this? My mother-in-law, she'll come to know something. So I need that ankle bell fast. So Lalita Sakhi, she disguised herself as an old lady. Again, there are different versions in Vrindavan according to how these pastimes took place. Ultimately, the conclusion was that Lalita Sakhi, she came to, in a disguised form, she found out Dukhi Krishna Das, who by then had come to realize that this particular, who had found this ankle bell, and had come to nearly realize that this is something extraordinary. Sometimes we realize something is extraordinary, isn't it? Even some, it just happens. You come to know nothing, there's nothing to explain it. A particular moment becomes extraordinary, a particular kirtan becomes extraordinary, a particular word in a lecture becomes extraordinary. It just touches you. Krishna's special mercy. Something just goes through all the coverings and touches his soul. Krishna explains in the Gita, sometimes, eva anukampartham, when there is special anukampa, tesham on such people, especially it is meant for the Mahatmas, but Prabhupada says everyone is a devotee. Ultimately everyone is a devotee. So sometimes Krishna's mercy goes through. Those special moments are there. Aham agyana jamtam, I remove everything. So those special moments are there. So here Shyamanand Prabhu understood this is something special. And it is also explained that the anklet was completely illuminating the whole area. So if something like that happens, it is something special. So he tied the ankle around his ankle bell around his neck and was continuing with his seva. So this disguised lady comes. Some say she was an old lady, some historians, some episodes, they explain that she was a very beautiful young lady. Anyways, this disguised lady comes and she says, did you find any anklet here, ankle bell here, a Nupur here? Who are you? I am from the Brahmin caste here, and one of my friends, dear friends, my mistress has lost her ankle bell and I have come to search for it. So since Dukhi Krishna Das understood that this is not an ordinary ankle bell, he says, no, I don't believe this. You take me to whoever is this ankle bell belongs to, and then only I'll give this ankle bell. Otherwise, I'll not give. And in fact, I don't believe that you also are who you are. So you have to tell me who you are exactly. Otherwise, let us go to your village and find out from the other people in the village, do you really belong to this village? So then Lalita Sakhi knew that this is not going to turn out as she thought. So she said, all right, I am Lalita Sakhi, and this is Radharani's ankle bell, and she needs it back. And Dukhi Krishna Das says, it is my great fortune that I can find Radharani's ankle bell here. Please, definitely give it back to Radharani. And so Lalita Sakhi is very much pleased by this. She says, all right, you ask a favor. He says, if my only desire is that I may be able to see you in your eternal form. She says, this is not possible. You'll not be able to bear it. Right? Like that story where Lord Brahma says that you'll not be able to bear my, what I have in my head. So similarly, here Lalita Sakhi says that you'll not be able to bear that. So Dukhi Krishna Das says, by your mercy, I'll be able to bear everything. So Lalita Sakhi says, all right. She says, first you close your eyes. And then she reveals her form. And when Dukhi Krishna Das opens his eyes, seeing that wonderful, beautiful, eternal form of Lalita Sakhi, he falls unconscious. He's not able to bear it. Makes us wonder when people say they see Krishna in their dreams, isn't it? Lalita Sakhi's form for Shyama Dukhi Krishna Das is so difficult to behold. What about all these persons who see Krishna in their dreams? Therefore, Prabhupada says, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, if the spiritual master comes in dreams and gives instructions, what should we do? Prabhupada says, it's very nice you're dreaming of the spiritual master, but it is better you follow the instruction that the spiritual master gives directly than the dream instructions. So, don't try to see Krishna, serve him such that Krishna comes to see you. Then we'll be able to behold Krishna's form. Otherwise we cannot. It's too pure. We'll not be able to hold that form. So then Lalita Sakhi starts, takes him on his lap and like a small child brings him back to consciousness. by soothing words. No problem, get up, it's all right. So slowly gets up and tears of love are falling from his eyes. He says, my life is fulfilled. Lalita Sakhi is so pleased with him. She says, ask another favor. He says, if it is possible, I would like to behold the wonderful form of Sri Radhika. So she says, at this moment it's not possible. You have to perfect your meditation more. I'll give you a special Radhika mantra. You chant this regularly and this will help you to perfect your life. So she gives that mantra. He hands over the ankle bell. According to this version, Lalita Sakhi does something very extraordinary. She takes the ankle bell and places it on his forehead. And then he says, may the mercy of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet always be on you. And immediately two lines in the form of tilak and a dot where the ankle bell, if you see Nupur, there is a dot in between. You know, a small Nupurs have, you know, space like this and a small hole. So therefore that space has that line and a small hole is there. And since you have given pleasure to Shyama, that is Radharani, your name shall be Shyamananda. So according to this version, the name Shyamananda and the tilak was given by Lalita Sakhi. It's all right. Servant of the servant of the servant. That is how we receive the mercy always. The other versions say that ultimately he could directly go to Radharani's lotus feet and Radharani herself gives him that impression. Anyways, he gets that tilak. Now he comes out of meditation. What happens is till now Dukhi Krishna Das, as most of the Bengalis and Orients, his body is not so, it's dark, darkish. So now it's molten gold, just by that touch. So here is he coming out of the kunja with a golden complexion with a new tilak and in complete ecstasy. So when Jiva Goswami sees him, he says, Prabhu, something has happened. Will you tell me? So Lalita Sakhi had told him that please don't tell anyone about this. If you do so, then except you may tell it to Jiva Goswami. So he narrates the whole incident to Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is very happy. He says, this name has been given to you by Srimati Radharani, Lalita Sakhi or Srimati Radharani. So this is your name and this is a tilak. By now, from now on, this tilak will be known as Shyamanandi tilak. It is our own tilak. One point that I wanted to touch on here is, according to the Vaishnava Sampradaya, when we take Diksha, especially by the Pancharatriki system, it comprises of five items, and one of them is Tilak. There is Nama, we get our name, new name. There is Yaga, or sacrifice is done. There is Tilak. There is Chinna, we are supposed to decorate our body with different symbols. For us, Kantimala is enough. Prabhupada once a devotee came for initiation, he said, all right, what are the four regulative principles? He said, oh, your name is so-and-so, and he was going to give his beads, and then said, where is your Kantimala? Somehow his Kantimala had broken that morning. He said, no initiation. The poor devotee was very much afraid whether I'll get my initiation or not. So next day he came, and Prabhupada said, all right, now, Kantimala should always be there. So, these things are there. And then the mantra is given. Five items. So tilak is very important. Tilak is, in fact, in some of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, people, the devotees, they spend so much time decorating their bodies tilaks. There are different mantras on with each tilak. They spend minutes. Tilak also signifies the chastity to the particular sampradaya that we belong to. Tilak is not just some ordinary activity. It signifies a chastity. It means, just as when we see someone, we see a child, we ask, who are your parents? It means he belongs to someone. A woman is asked, who is your husband? It means she belongs to someone. Similarly, a devotee, when we see a tilak, it means this person belongs to him. It belongs to this sampradaya. So one should be very particular about putting tilak. So according to the particular sampradaya, the tilak is there. So in the Gaudiya sampradaya, we have a tilak. And here, a slightly different tilak is being introduced. I want to contrast this with what Srila Prabhupada did.
In this Chaitanya Sampradaya, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very revolutionary. And then we have the Saraswat line, coming from Bhakti Vinod in that line. Saraswat line, Saraswati Thakur's line. The Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada did everything, always. His mood was always to follow Shriya Saraswati Thakur. And even when he went to the West, he said, let us establish one of the centers of the Gaudiya Math here. And then some situations turned out differently and established ISKCON. ISKCON is a very, very special branch of the Chaitanya tree. It belongs to the Chaitanya tree, but it has a distinct feature also. And Prabhupada says, hence you have to stress on that, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara. Without Krishna's intervention, it is not possible to have a distinct personality. So we as followers of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON have a distinct personality. At the same time, we are also from the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are also the Saraswati family. And that is because Krishna has personally intervened. Just as with Shyamanandi Tilak, Krishna personally intervened. And that Tilak is bona fide. We are bona fide branch of the Gaudiya tree. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is a special personality. Someone specially chosen, on whom, just as Sri Radhika decided to give mercy to Shyamanand Pandit, Krishna specifically chose Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Paravartan. So that's his eminent position. And ISKCON is special. So, just as Gaudiya Math is also special, Saraswati Thakur's Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Paravartan. Even there, Krishna Shakti is there. So here he gets the tilak, he comes. But a big controversy starts off. People start talking. Jiva Goswami has stolen Hriday Chaitanya's disciple. He has given him a different name. He has reinitiated him. He has given him a different tilak. He is starting a new sampradaya. Imagine Jiva Goswami's position. Shyamanand Prabhu has told him that please don't mention it to anyone because Lalita Sakhi has ordered me. All these rumors are going on. The whole of Vrindavan is speaking this. And Jiva Goswami, he knows he cannot say anything in his defense. We cannot imagine the situation. We cannot imagine the position of these two devotees. Which is just history for us. But at that time, it was the biggest controversy in the Gaudiya Vaishnava history. A raging controversy. So much so that it reached Hriday Chaitanya. And Hriday Chaitanya became so angry. He said, right now I'll go to Shaman, this Dukhi Krishnadas, and ask him, if by taking a new name, if by being reinitiated and having a new guru, if he has attained Krishna, then today I along with all my followers will take reinitiation from Jiva Goswami. But then he sobered down and says, no, Jiva Goswami is an advanced Vaishnava. Please don't commit any offense against him. Take a letter to him. Within this letter, I'll ask my questions. Did you reinitiate him? Why did you reinitiate him? Do you think I'm not a bona fide guru? What is wrong within my lineage or my parampara, my disciplic line? I'm not following my spiritual master properly. So many questions he writes in a letter and selects five of his prominent disciples and said, you go and ask Jiva Goswami personally. But be very respectful to him. Something is happening here we don't understand. Therefore, I want you to represent me. So they go to Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami receives them as very exalted Vaishnavas and reads that letter. And when Jiva Goswami, he reads that letter, he says, somehow the situation has turned up. We don't know how. But Hriday Chaitanya is accusing me of stealing his disciple. Hriday Chaitanya, he is my worshipable guru. Gauridas Pandit, he took me under his shelter when I came to Navadvip. He loved me like his own son. I respect him. I respect Hriday Chaitanya as much as I respect Gauridas Pandit. In fact, I should be his disciple. So how has this come about? Let me tell you one thing. Everything that Dukhi Krishnadas has earned is only by the mercy of his guru. He was meditating while doing his seva on his spiritual master. His spiritual master appeared in a dream. He became satisfied with him and told him, your name is Shyamananda and this is your tilak. And if you don't believe what I am saying, you go and ask Shyamananda, Dukhi Krishna himself. And Dukhi Krishnadas said, whatever Jiva Goswami has said is perfectly true. And it is explained why he said that. Dukhi Krishnadas, he knew that by the mercy of Jiva Goswami, he was able to do all those service. But he had received the mercy of Jiva Goswami's instructions only by the mercy of his spiritual master. So ultimately, it is Hriday Chaitanya who is responsible or who should be given credit for everything that I have received. And that was his understanding. He felt from his heart that only by the mercy of Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu have I got, my spiritual master, have I got this mercy of Lalita Sakhi. Otherwise, it was impossible for me. So he corroborated whatever Jiva Goswami said. So they came back and Jiva Goswami said, if you still don't believe me, let us call everyone in Vrindavan and let us ask them, did Jiva Goswami do this? So everyone begged for Vinod, please, please, Prabhu, nothing like that. We have total faith in you. Your word is enough. It is just that we were ordered by our spiritual master to do this and therefore we are coming. So this is Vaishnav etiquette also. Vaishnav dealings. It is not that every Tom, Dick and Harry, you know, every Frank on the street, you know, or every Manoj on the street starts questioning authorities. Why is doing this? Is he really an exalted devotee? One has to be qualified to challenge someone. I mean, even to challenge scientists, we have to be a scientist. To find out some defect in the position of some devotee, we have to be on the level of that devotee to ask. Otherwise, just respect. We may have questions, we may ask someone. We may have doubts, we may ask someone we trust about that and get our doubts clarified. But to challenge someone, we need to be qualified. Just as Krishna told Ekalavya, you are not qualified. You are not qualified to die in this battlefield. I'll take you out and kill you. So even to die on the battlefield, one has to be qualified. What to speak of Vaishnava dealings? It requires a lot of qualification. And then it is done in a very nice way. So, they go back. Hriday Chaitanya reads the letter and said, what is this? I don't remember any dream in which I have done this. In fact, I think this is just a figment of imagination of Jiva Goswami. I'll personally go to him. First of all, I had trust in him that he would not be doing this, and now he sends me a letter with a dream? Something is happening here which is not proper. So, he collects 64 Mahans. He collects all the 12 Gopals. He collects all the devotees. Chalo Vrindavan. Can you imagine this situation? To undertake a trip from Bengal to Vrindavan. What a controversy. Just think of it. What a controversy. What must be happening in the lives of all the devotees then? Sometimes we think that our situation is unique. We are the only generation which are having problems. You know? It is simply a reflection of our own ahankar because we want to be special. Therefore, our problems are also special, you know. Special generation problems. What a controversy. Two exalted devotees, eternal associates, coming head on. You know? So they come. Hriday Chaitanya comes. Jiva Goswami offers him obeisances. Hriday Chaitanya offers him obeisances. Shyamananda Prabhu comes and offers obeisances to his Guru Maharaj. Hriday Chaitanya says, who are you offering obeisances to? Clarify this. Shyamananda Prabhu comes, stands up and says, I'm offering to my eternal spiritual master, Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu. Acha? If I'm a spiritual master, then explain this new tilak and this new name. I never remember giving you this. He said, it is only by your mercy. Hriday Chaitanya said, if that is so, then I will personally rub off this tilak from your face and I will write Shyamananda on your chest and rub it off. If it gets rubbed off, it is all a farce. And if you are true, it will not rub off. Shyamananda Prabhu says, if that is your desire, let it be so. That is how I can please you, let it be so. So everyone comes there, sits down. And all the Mahantas tell Shyamananda Prabhu, Shyamananda Prabhu, this is our last chance. We have come here to mediate between you and your spiritual master. Mediate between your spiritual master and Jiva Goswami. So mediation is, if it's done in proper way,
It is bona fide. In fact, Krishna also came to mediate between the Kauravas and the Pandavas as Shantidut. But it should be done in the proper way, the proper consciousness. So, even now if you accept that it is only by your own whim and fancies you have done this, you have accepted Jiva Goswami, it was a mistake, then we can expiate you of all these sins. We can tell you some prayer to do and you will be free from all of this. Just accept it. I mean, it is too far-fetched, you know. Your dream was there and you served Hridaya Chaitanya and all that. Just accept that it is. But Shaman Prabhu said, no, it is only by the mercy of Hridaya Chaitanya that everything has happened. So they said, all right, if that is so, then this has to take place. So they're all there. Everyone has gathered. The whole of Vrindavan comes and gathering there. Now this is a test. Isn't it? Huge test. Can you imagine why Krishna puts his devotees into such situations? Because they never complain. They never complain. They accept it as Krishna's mercy. Scriptures have to be understood like that. This entire episode of it is an opportunity by which others learn, and it is a moment through which the starlight qualities of these devotees are reflected. It is like the raw diamond. So the process starts. Everyone is there. Hridaya Chaitanya is ready. Hridaya Chaitanya says, nobody else will touch him. I personally will rub off. So when the devotees are saying like this, they say, Shamanand Prabhu, one last chance. So Shamanand Prabhu says, please give me some time to reframe my mind, my mental situation. Let me become calm. Everything is happening so fast. Give me some moments. They say, all right. So Shamanand Prabhu sits down in meditation. And in his meditation, he goes into his eternal body. He enters the eternal pastimes as Kanaka Manjari, who is sitting outside the house of Radharani and crying. So the gopis asked, why are you crying? Nobody cries here. Said, what to do? Lalita Sakhi, she told me to do something. And then my husband became angry and threw me out of the house. Now I have nowhere to go. I am sitting here. What should I do? So the news reaches Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi says, bring her in. And then when she comes in, she's chanting the Radha mantra that Lalita Sakhi has given. When Shamanand Prabhu sits in meditation, at that time he also chants the Radha mantra that Lalita Sakhi has given. So as she's chanting the Radha's mantra, because of that she gets direct darshan of Sri Radhika first time. And she falls unconscious. Kanak Manjari falls unconscious. So Lalita Sakhi again goes and embraces her and soothes her and says, no problem, wake up, it's all right. And then she starts crying. So she says, what's the problem? She says, this is the problem. My Guru Hridaya Chaitanya is challenging me like this. What to do? So Radharani says, don't worry. Lalita Sakhi, do something. Lalita Sakhi calls Subal Gopa and says, this is your problem, you see. You have to do something. So Subal Sakha. So here we see how the different rasas and the devotees in different rasas are all engaged in only one thing, to please Sri Radharani in her service to Sri Krishna. Everything is related, somehow or the other. Everything is connected. And they have their own mobile connections. They can immediately call anyone, anytime. Any rasa. So she calls Subal. Subal Gopa immediately comes and says, don't worry. In my pastimes there, I am Gauridas Pandit, the guru of Kanak Manjari's guru. So he says, you go back there in that form. And when his Hridaya Chaitanya starts rubbing off the name, just meditate on me. Just call out for me. That is all. So Kanak Manjari is pacified. She returns to her external state as Shamanand Prabhu. Shamanand Prabhu says, I am ready now. So Hridaya Chaitanya comes and starts rubbing off. And he is rubbing, because he has his intense mood. His intense mood of devotion. So because of that intense mood of devotion, the tilak starts rubbing off. It starts disappearing, becoming lighter. When everyone sees this, they are just wonderstruck. And then Shamanand Prabhu sees that this is happening. And he starts meditating on Gauridas Pandit. Calling out for him. He says, please Gauridas Pandit, please Subal Sakha, do something. And then he says, by the mercy of my guru, whatever happens to me is all right. I accept it. And he then starts shouting out loudly, Hriday Chaitanya, Hriday Chaitanya, Hriday Chaitanya, Hriday Chaitanya. And here is Hriday Chaitanya rubbing off. Right? Something like, what is that saying in Hindi? Hari se bada Hari ka naam. So here is a meditation of the devotee on his spiritual master, and the spiritual master personally there. You know, a devotee can defeat even a spiritual master by his devotion, just as a devotee can defeat Krishna by his devotion. Ultimately, devotional service defeats everything. It is the highest platform. So here is Hriday Chaitanya, and suddenly the impression starts becoming more and more bright. It starts glowing. And when Hriday Chaitanya sees this, he accepts his defeat and embraces his disciple and says, whatever you say is confirmed. This is true. You have received special mercy of Sri Radhika. And is very happy. So, controversies are always there. But controversies can be resolved by proper dealings. Especially those who are exalted Vaishnavas and they know Vaishnava etiquette. They do not allow controversies to rage on. But they have a direct talk. So that once for all it is settled. And this is what is simplicity. Simplicity means directly confronting the issue. And trying to settle the issue. Trying to remove all the misunderstandings. And let the truth only stay. Let the truth shine. Satyameva jayate. Let the truth be victorious. So herein, also in this episode of Maharaj Jad Bharat, the ultimate truth will shine forth. And what is that truth? Yes, fall downs are there, obstacles are there. All that understandings we can get from here. But the biggest truth is, Krishna never tests his devotee beyond their endurance. And Krishna in every situation offers the opportunity to the devotee to come closer to him. Every situation. Even in this situation in Vrindavan, the opportunity was for all devotees to come closer to Krishna. To understand the Krishna Tattva more clearly. To understand devotional service more in a better way. In a higher way. And that is the essence of everything. That Krishna is always offering opportunity to the devotee to advance, to come closer to him. Whether here in this material world or in the spiritual world. Krishna is making arrangements for devotees to always come closer and closer and closer to him. And therefore devotee is never morose. Because he sees every opportunity, every obstacle as an opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's quite late. Very late. I really sincerely beg forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shyamanand Pandit Prabhu ki, Tai Gaura Premanande.